Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey Towards Transformation. I am your host, Zilla Powell, and I am very excited about our guest tonight and our program. You know, this is the month of love, and so my goal has been to get people, experts who can teach us how that art of self-love and taking care of ourselves. And also, many of us began resolutions in January, and it's in February, and I want to be a source and bring along resources to help keep you moving forward. There's no need to do what many do, is that by January 5th, they're done. No, we are here to keep you on track so that you can live the life that you want and live that life healthily and fantastically. And so I welcome you today. A couple things I want to talk about. One is that today is Fat Tuesday, but tomorrow begins Ash Wednesday. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, and Lent begins. And I know that there is a tradition of giving up things for Lent, food or chocolate or soda. And one of the things that I want to encourage people to do is that I often see that people give up that soda or carbs or whatever, and then, you know, the day after Easter, they're just macking down. So it's like, okay, if you wanted it that bad, it probably would have just been better to keep it. But one of the things I also feel that I noticed that God's not very good at certain types of math. That in the Bible, God does not appear to be very good at dividing and subtracting. But God is very good at multiplying and adding. And so I'm going to suggest 8 things to give up. It's from Billy Cox Motivation. And that as you release these things or give them up, then make room to add on their opposite. So 8 things to give up for Lent, and as I say, and beyond. Self-rejection. Negative self-talk, criticizing others, being a people pleaser, fear of failure, procrastination, holding on to grudges, and expecting perfection. To give those things up and to put in their place of self-love, positive self-talk, empowering and encouraging others, living authentically. That's the opposite of being a people pleaser, living authentically. Don't worry about fearing a failure. You know, Thomas Edison, something like 10,000 times, did not get the light bulb right. And what he said was, I didn't fail, but that I learned 10,000 times how not to do it. Procrastination. Now, my daughter's listening. This is her big thing, which unfortunately she got from me, her mom. You know, just do it. That's the Nike. Just move on. Let go of grudges. You know, being holding on to grudges like drinking poison and thinking someone else is going to get hurt by it. And then expecting perfection. We're human. And there is a perfection in our imperfection. So let me encourage you this Lent to give up those negative things and to take on those newer and positive things. So let's move right on to our program tonight, the Journey Towards Transformation, being fabulously fit with Renee Wiggins. Renee Wiggins, RDN LD, owner of Results by Renee, has mentored, trained, and changed the lives in the health and wellness industry for over 20 years. A strong believer and encourager in living an authentic, healthy lifestyle, Renee specializes in designing customized lifestyle programs that are tailored to clients' needs, goals, and habits. Renee is also the host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom radio show and is the facilitator of Spiritual Bodybuilding, Change Your Mind, Change Your Temple, and Change Your Life, a telesummit to inspire, motivate, and encourage people to become better servants of God. Renee is also the author of several books, Transformation, Give Up the Struggle, and Stress Down and Lift Up, and her latest one, Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, a 40-day journey to wellness. And Renee and I have a lot of things in common as far as but as authors, we both have books with the word journey, mine being 30 days, her being 40 days. And I think the way I actually caught her attention is that she saw me being interviewed by someone, and our book covers are very similar with the butterfly on the front. And so without further ado, let us open our hearts and our minds. Let's take a minute to be still, to get present, to be centered, to have an ear to hear what God will speak through this amazing woman. It's no tragedy, it's no secret or no accident that you are here tonight or you'll be listening to this on the archive. This message is for you. So let's slow down, focus, center, and get present as we welcome Renee Wiggins. Hello, my dear. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Bill, and thank you for that presentation. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed being with you. We have worked several times before, and so it's been really a pleasure, and I'm thankful to be part of your journey.
Well, thank you. And, you know, this is the beauty of the modern world that we live in, where electronics can really kind of be a pain sometimes. I have not yet had the chance to embrace you and hug you as my sister, and yet we have talked. We've been, yeah, very funny, and we haven't met, but yeah, we've had many chances to interact and to be encouragement and a blessing to each other. And so I am ready to give the show over to you, starting with talking about your book, Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, 40-Day Journey to Wellness. This book has inspired me to action, and that's what I love, chapter 15, about acting. You know, Renee will talk, Kishaba, about encouraging you to pray and to speak those things. But what I like is that she's like, don't just be talking about it. You got to do something. And then chapter 17, which is in some ways my favorite, actually day 17, but I was all ready for her tonight, and I was going to have my excuses for why I couldn't exercise, because I get up at 5, I leave my house at 5:40 in the morning, and I don't get back till 7:30, and I was all prepared for my excuses. And then she's like, you can walk during your lunchtime. And I'm like, oh, okay, Renee, I call my best friend. I said, we're buying pedometers. We're going to walk. And so this book has inspired me, and I will be a healthier person because of what God spoke to you in this book. And so for that, I am grateful, my dear. And so with that, let's listen to Renee Wiggins encourage us all to start up again, stay on track, and keep going to being fabulously fit.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And to your listeners, thank you as well. I just want to, before I really begin, sort of pick up where you had left off about talking about giving up. You're true. So many people give up something, and then the next day they just gorging down, right? Maybe like a minute or even 2 minutes after midnight, start gorging down the very food that or very thing that they, you know, gave up. And you wonder, well, why give it up just for that 40 days? What are you learning? What are you thinking about when you are fasting? So what I have done in one of my chapters, I call it the Last Supper, because being a registered dietitian, people will call me for an appointment, and they said, oh, well, I'm going to go out and eat. This is my Last Supper before I visit you. So think about the Last Supper and the Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples. So I have this little thing, and I'm sort of going to paraphrase it. So imagine you sitting at your table, and you're at the head of the table, and what happened is you have a lot of sugar, fat, salt, fatty desserts, huge portion sizes. You're not exercising at all. You got junk food. You're constantly dining out, and your lunch is always eaten out of fast food. The TV is blasting in all your rooms. You're highly stressed because you're taking care of both your parents and children. We call that the sandwich generation. And then you might have a spouse that's drinking plenty of alcohol, and the kids love the sodas. And what happens is also a lack of sleep because you're taking care of your parents and your children. Or you might have that type of person in your household that's constantly partying. Or you might have a child or two who is depressed. So we call that the Last Supper. Because after you read this book and after they also read your book, they should now be going through a transformation. As you mentioned, and I really learned a lot about that butterfly and going into the cocoon and start liquefying. And then what happened? They changed into butterfly. They can't go back to that position being a caterpillar. They're now a butterfly, and they go from plant to plant, planting new seeds and new goals. So think about this. Now, after your 40 days, now you should be having, instead of having sugar, your meals and dessert should be sugar-free. Instead of eating plenty of fat, it should be fat-free. Instead of having things that are high in salt, it should be low salt. Instead of having fatty dessert, it should be fresh fruit or dessert low in sugar and fat. small in portions instead of the fat portions. Instead of having alcohol and sodas, drink plenty of water. Think of the physical water to feed the physical body, just like we got to also concentrate on the spiritual water for our spiritual body. Instead of partying, I want you to be praying daily, every day, or meditating on the word. Instead of junk food, no junk food. So what I tell people, think of junk food like Judas, how he betrayed Jesus. Think of all the junk food and the fast food betrayed your body so that you will not grow mentally, physically, or spiritually. Instead of always eating out, eat in or do healthy dining. Instead of fast food, think of healthy fast food. You don't always, if you got to go to McDonald's, you can get the plain hamburger and ask for a tomato and french fries, limited that or no french fries at all. Instead of having TV in your room and in every room, it's blasting and going and all the electronics and you sleep with the phone by your head and you hear the beep beep because somebody is on Facebook or trying to text you. Limit the amounts on TV. Go more for the books and maybe self-help books or even meditate on the word. Instead of lack of physical activity, think about physical activity beginning right there in your chair. And for those that are listening right now, you can do jumping jacks from your chair, or you can, everybody, right knee up, down, left knee up. So you're marching in place. So there's no excuse for you not to exercise that both physical and spiritual body. And instead of always taking on everybody else's emergency, with you busy taking on their emergency, so that means what, you throw things of yours from the table to the floor, and you're telling yourself that you're not worth it, and you're also telling everybody else, I will take care of your things and forget about me. So don't let everybody else's emergency become your emergency. Think about reducing your stress through prayer, meditation, and physical activity. Because when you're constantly stressed out, especially for women, it takes us 24 hours, Villa, to get rid of stress. 24 hours, while wow. The male holds only on for 9 hours. How can a woman get rid of stress if she constantly holding on to it? Is she taking care of the kids? If not, she's taking her children's kids, her parents. She's busy taking care of people at church, at work. She's always into everybody else's business but hers. So when you highly stressed out, the cortisol levels rises, and guess what? You also gain weight. So it's not just the lack of physical activity and not eating right. It's also because you're constantly under stress all the time. So think
so, Renee,
about
let
drinking
me, you
more.
Are, you just hit, so, I mean, you're just like dropping bombs of information, of inspiration. So let's start with the foundation. Now, what you're talking to people about is, we talked about this a little bit earlier, give us some information about, you know, you said think of our body as a temple of God, and we just said that most people don't, that this is about the temple that was built, the first one with King David, and or actually with Solomon. And the whole point of that temple, that's where the presence of God is, and that you are encouraging us to see and to know and to live in this body is where the presence of God is, and that will then encourage me, or I shouldn't then be wanting this. Do eat and act in unhealthy ways. So talk a little bit more about that and then give us some more of the basics.
Well, the body is a temple that God helped build for us to house our spirit. And if we concentrate on God and His Word, we shouldn't have any other distractions. Nothing should we put in this body shall harm us, so we will not be able to promote spiritual and physical well-being. So what I tell everybody is stop thinking, I guess I want to say the media's image, and think of God's image. God created you in His image, so there's no fault, there's no mistakes. And He wants you to take care of this body and focus on taking care of the body, drinking water, eating plenty of fruits and vegetables equal to the fruit of the Spirit, concentrating on sugar-free and low-fat and not all that high-fat and everything. Stop worrying about the outside. It's really from the inside out. That we need to take care of, because that is what like a temple is, taking care of from the inside out. When you focus too much on the outside, it's like a mask. You know, you see the women in church and they wear a lot of hats and they got all this makeup and all these dresses and everything, and you really wonder what's going on inside. Or they're so busy on so many different ministries that what happened? They're not taking care of themselves. God gave us this temple to house our spirit, and we need to eat as well as drink right, as well as sleep as well as exercise. In other words, we got to take care of the physical structure so we can also take care of the spiritual structure as well. They both go hand in hand. And so when you are depressed, that's being from the inside, guess what? You're not taking care of your body. You're not eating. You're not doing anything. Or you're on the opposite end. You're constantly partying. You're constantly drinking the wrong drinks. You're constantly in and out of somebody else's bed. You're just not doing what's right. You're tearing yourself from the inside out as well. So, ladies, take off that mask and work from the inside out. So when you do that, it also affects your mind. So you want to flex your spiritual muscles as well as your physical muscles. And when we take care from the inside out, then we can become better servants of God. In other words, don't let those distractions interfere with what God has given you.
You know, Renee, you said something very important. I know if you're not just talking about it. You have lived it in that being the caretaker for your parents. You called it the sandwich generation. And I appreciate what you're saying. If you're talking about that for men and women, as we look at women, about that level of self-care, that if I can't take care of everybody else, the first person I need to take care of is myself, that if I'm all worn out and tired, I'm no good to my mother, I'm no good to my daughter, I'm no good to my husband, I'm no good to my best friend, and that part of that is, what am I running from? Focus on me. Say, well, no, that's being selfish. And I'm showing the Lord that, you know, people want to religiousize everything. Well, I'm taking care of my family and my grandkids. Well, you know, maybe you need to tell your daughters to keep their knees together. Or, you know, go to Planned Parenthood and get something to work that out. That I, it's not my mother's job to take care of my children. You know?
Right.
So I think you're talking about something like that self-care, that there's real issues. Mama needs me. My husband needs me. My daughter needs me. But there's someone who needs me first, and that's me. And it's not being selfish. It's about self-care. That's what you're encouraging. Take care of yourself.
That is so true, but I guess it's coming from, like, my generation. If I thought about myself, my mother would say, you're selfish, you know. So you inbred it to take care of everybody else, and you put yourself last. But how can you take care of everybody else if, like you said, if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't take care of your body? You're weak and you're exhausted, but you got to get up and feed somebody's breakfast or take them to school, or your coworker call you crying on your shoulder and you're busy listening instead of say, stop, I want to do something good for myself. I don't want to hear it no more. It's been 4 or 5 years. You're still going with the same guy. He's not doing anything for yourself. I want to do something for myself, and I just don't want to listen to that. Because what happened is your body harbors that negativity, and even though it doesn't look it on the outside, in the inside you're tearing yourself down. Brick by brick. And so as women, we need to encourage one another and take care of ourselves. In other cultures, they do that. But here in America, we don't. We focus on always of, you know, the money and the many things that we have and the big houses and buying all this junk food and everything. For them to actually sit down and say, hey, I need a little rest a few minutes, that's unheard of. And we need to do that because we can rejuvenate our brain cells, rejuvenate ourselves as well. But when we constantly going, the little, what I call the little radicals of going all around your body crazy, is breaking down your body. And then you wonder why you're losing your hair, you wonder why you're sick, you wonder why your legs are restless, you just wonder why. And then you go to the doctor and he can't find nothing physically wrong, and then you get upset with your doctor. When he needs to sit down and say, hey, what's going on with you in your regular life? And then when you begin to spill it out, then you see, hey, the unforgiveness, the anger, the strife, the jealousy, all this is tearing me down brick by brick. I have to get up early in the morning. Well, if you do that, have breakfast or go, we should have a prayer, a meditation, a devotion. And then you have your breakfast, and, you know, of course, I missed the washing up, but you got to do that too. And then you just go. If you got to arrive at work a little bit early before you get to work, so you can just, like you said, detox, breathe in, and just get yourself ready. But I know so many people, they get up late, they rush in, they rush through traffic, they rush to get in the office, and then, phew, they rush to do their work. And that's not good for you. And then you wonder why a lot of us women from the ages of 19 to 65 are suffering from heart disease. It used to be called a man's disease, but it's no longer that because we've taken on too much. The parents, the children, the job, the career, the part-time job, going to school. We have balanced situation, and part of that is taking care of ourselves. If it's a massage every other month, you only do 30 minutes because you only afford it. A bath, put a do not disturb me sign, going for a walk. That's also part of meditation. But we got to take care of ourselves first before we can take care of the family. Otherwise, it's going to drive us crazy. Otherwise, we're not going to live longer. And then as we go to the doctor, he's not going to be able to find out what's going on. So as women, we have to learn to delegate. We have to learn to say no. Just like they say no to drugs, say no.
Girl, you better
delegate
say that again.
Say no.
Now you stepping on some toes. So you can say that again. Women need to learn to say what?
No. Or you want to say, let me process this. And when you say that, then I'll get back with you. And then you can address it later. Because sometimes we jump in it too fast. Or people used to catch me, Renee, can you do me a favor? Because you sound like, oh, it's a little favor. But then I learned, I said, okay, what is the favor first? And they step back and they look at you like, what? Because you don't want to be dragged down a road that you can't get off. And so it's okay to say no. It's okay to tell your friend, you know, I'm sorry, I heard you cry before. I'll get back with you. I need to sleep. I had a girlfriend at 9 o'clock at night. She was in bed. Don't call her around 9 o'clock or after because she's in bed and she will not pick up the phone. And so that taught me that she's respecting herself, respecting her family, and she's taking care of herself. And we got to do that. But for women, we're afraid to say no, even on the job, where men will automatically tell you no and don't think nothing about it. So it's self-care from the head to the toe, from inside out, is drinking plenty of water. And I want to stress the fact of getting that sleep. I live here in what we call the DMV area, the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia. I never met so many people, that, especially women, that going to school, working part-time, and have a job. That's not good. Mm. That is not good for you at all. Or they have two jobs. Or they have to say taking kids and everything. And then they wonder why their weight has increased because you're not getting the sleep to yourself to rejuvenate. And then what happens? You're going from one job to school. You're going to grab something high in fat, high in salt. No, you don't need that. It's the idea we have to go back to where our ancestors ate, and that's also learning how to prepare our own food. But Villa, I'm really shocked that a lot of women cannot cook. I had a client that told me if she can't nuke it, can't put it in the microwave, she's not going to cook it. When you cook something, you're preparing it, you can smell the food, and then when you prepare it, you're going to eat your food. Even gardening. Gardening is very important in our life. You don't have to have a big garden. I live in a condo, and my terrace is full of, during summertime, of green peppers, tomatoes, cilantro, basil, squash, yellow squash. And everybody that walked by said, my God, you got a lot of plants, you got a lot of greenery. But it's a nice feeling where you can go to your patio, come back in your kitchen, and use your own and cook your own vegetables. And it's good for you because you don't have a lot of that pesticides on there. And it's nice and fresh and a different taste and smell from all the other food that's coming from California or other countries. And then they store it in those big vats and they, you know, nutrients are disposing or getting rid of the nutrients. And by the time they get to you, it's just downright either too ripe or not ripe at all.
So, Renee, are you saying that I am personally responsible for my health?
Yes, we are, because we have to become our own advocates. We have to, because now the way the health system is so shoddy, it really is. When I was younger, my mother didn't like a doctor. She left him, walked into another doctor, and nobody questioned her. Did you go somewhere? And if she didn't like it, she went, you can't even do that now. You have to have a doctor's referral. So one doctor told me he was my gatekeeper, and I said, oh, no, no, and I walked out and haven't seen him since. We have to know our body and know how our body is breaking down. Because the doctors, sometimes they have their head down, busy writing soap notes. They're not really actually listening to you. You have to know your body. So many women have told me they discovered their own cancers because the doctor wasn't really totally invited. Oh, you fine, you fine. But when you know that your stool is usually sort of that rich brown color and all of a sudden it turned black the next morning, something's going on inside. You need to see the doctor. Stop being scared of, like, the heart attack. A heart attack means you can have it in your jaw and, you know, have a headache. It could be your teeth. It could be in your throat. It could be in your chest. It can be in your stomach as well down your left arm. But so many elderly women have come and told me, well, I didn't want to tell my kids I think I was having a heart attack. I was having chest pains. Stop, you know, denying it. Because by the time you decide it is, it could be, bam, you're dead. So go to the doctor, become your advocate, and if you don't like him, then choose another doctor. But you have to write things down. And that's another thing. I had this one patient, and he wrote everything down. So he saw an eye doctor, a dentist, but he wrote everything down, and then he'll bring it to me. So every time he went to a practitioner, he would bring his whole chart, his own chart. And he kept tabs on it. So therefore, he was a very healthy man because he didn't take no for an answer. He, you know, investigated. He did what he's supposed to do. But I work up with a lot of people, and they what? You don't write down the medications or you don't take your medications. You know, you have to take your medications. And if it doesn't work, let the doctor know or the pharmacist know. But write things down so you know what you're taking, so you won't be taking the same medication but a different name, or you might take what we call nutrient-drug interaction. Eating is very important, too. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, breakfast is what? Break the fast. What is wrong? I have so many people that, well, I can't eat a heavy breakfast. But you're eating French fries or hash brown eggs and sausage, so isn't that heavy? Well, I can't eat that early in the morning. Well, you can have a grapefruit. You can have a banana and 1 tablespoon of peanut butter. You can have an apple and 1 tablespoon of peanut. You can have apple and a cheese. You can have just toast with peanut butter. It doesn't have to be big, but you need to eat something in your stomach so you can have that energy to fuel your body. And then lunchtime, 4 to 5 hours later. And then dinner. And then maybe have a snack in between. But I get these excuses, oh, I can't eat a big breakfast, that's too much. But then here you are at 8 o'clock on the job and you eating grits and eggs and hash browns and sausage and bacon. Oh, I just eat a little bit of this, I eat a little bit of that. Take care of that body. Write down a week's menu and write it down and stick with that breakfast, lunch and dinner. Remember, breakfast don't have to be big. Simple. I already gave you some examples. Then think about what you're gonna have for lunch. Think about, because it only helps with your health, but also on your wallet, too.
Now, you know, Renee, I would have to interrupt you. We are down to 2 minutes. You know, every guest that I've had on here, so you already know you're coming back. You dropped so much truth. And again, that self-responsibility, you know, oh, the Lord will take care of it. Wow. No, you take care of it. God gave you a brain. Interact. Don't you know? So, girl, you got so much more to say. But I want people to know how they can get in touch with you. And tell them the name of your book again.
My name of my book is Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, A 40-Day Journey to Wellness. You can get my book on my website, www.resultsbyrenee.com, www.resultsbyrenee.com, as well as Amazon. So they can contact me at my website, or I can say renee@resultsbyrenee.com, renee@resultsbyrenee.com.
Well, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. Of course, you're coming back because, I mean, you just inspired me, and the challenge of self-care, and that, yes, we are in a relationship with God, but most people, the way, you know, no one wants to be in a relationship where they only come to you at the last minute and always trying to throw stuff on you, not take responsibility. No. So let me thank my amazing guest. So I'm going to put you back on hold. Actually, no, you can just listen to me. No need to put you back on hold. But you heard Renee dropping some bombs of truth and encouraging us. Take responsibility. Stop making excuses. What a fabulous show, Renee. I praise God for having you on here. Next week I'll have Tiffany Janae. It'll be an adults-only show. We're going to talk about sexual health, sensual health, and taking care of that part of ourselves as well. And so that'll be next Tuesday on March 3rd. I'll have Beverly Fells Jones, another amazing author who has blessed me in my life. And so remember, as we begin the Lenten season, think about the good habits you can take on and make your life better that way. I wish you all health, wholeness, and happiness. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.